Mr. Clarkson, reel 41.
And the funny thing about it, this captain of ours, Captain Boyle, he was an excitable fellow if he was upset. And a great thing, as I've just mentioned, was to tear his hat off and throw it on the deck and jump on it. In this case, he was sick in his bucket. He tore his hat off, threw it on the deck and went to jump on it, and he jumped on a searchlight mirror that a bloke was cleaning alongside and busted that up. Of course, down from the top came Curly. Yes, get him down, he said. Bring him here. And there straight away sentenced him to scrubbing the bridge. All that part round where he'd been sick. For a fortnight, and the dog watches. To keep on scrubbing him. But it was awful, I think, this seasickness business.
And you never really were cured at all the time you were at sea. You always had it lingering.
Yes, I didn't like being a sea. If it was rough, of course, if it was smooth, it was all right. Yes. But even then, there was always that motion somehow or other that, although I could keep it down, yeah. I used to feel sorry for other people who were sick, but... there's something about it, I've noticed, blonde people very rarely are seasick.
Could be, I don't know.
Yes, it's, say, the Scandinavian type, is he, the old seaman. But I can remember one trip, where you went to, we were going down to Bermuda, we went out in a hurricane and we came back in one. And there we were underwater nearly all the time. And nearly everybody was sick then.
Can I ask you then a little bit more about the Red Sea and about Lawrence? Can you talk about T.E. Lawrence? He sailed in your vessel once.
Lawrence, I just forget when he came to us, but I should say it was either 16, about 16, I should think. And by this time, we were operating up at Akabar. There's one thing that we shouldn't have on record there, I think, was the fact that we fired flying a Yankee ensign.
Oh, really? What was that?
Yeah, it was an awful job, Akabar. You go up to a point, and you've got a job to turn when you get up. It's so narrow at the end there. And actually, it was impossible to get up there. Anyhow, we went blazing up there one day with a Yankee ensign flying. Yeah. And we went up there, turned round and let go with the 3 4.7 guns we had, and then hoisted the white ensign, and off we went. Yeah. But it was about that time that the Captain Lawrence came to the ship. He was a captain then, and he had his cabin there. The cabin was kept for him all the time, I think, yes. And we didn't know what he was or who he was. We knew he was intelligence. He belonged to the intelligence corps or somebody like that. And he was on his own, and the only person he ever had anything to say to was the captain, Captain Boyle. He used to walk up and down in the upper deck, a saloon deck that would be, for hours on end, walking up and down, never saying a word. And then the captain would come and they'd walk up and down together. He never mixed or spoke to any of the other officers at all. And then he would go ashore. In the night order book, you'd see a boat for play Captain Lawrence ashore, say about 6 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And he might be away for a week, sometimes as long as 3 months he'd be away. And then he'd come back in his Arab regalia, and he'd be aboard for a week or two again, same old thing, say, walking up and down, and I suppose he used to do a bit of clerical work in his cabin, must have done. And then there was on one occasion, he went up, we had a seaplane, came from somewhere, and he went up with Boyle on a sort of reconnaissance affair. And I also remember both of them nearly got drowned. They were trailing along in the water because seaplanes weren't very good in those days. And then on another occasion, when we went to this, I think I've told you about that, this disused oil field there.
Yes.
Where we went ashore with a signalman who was an interpreter and myself to see what anything that had been left there would be good for war material. And the captain and Lawrence. And then he disappeared for quite a while and joined us up. Oh no, before that, he was going to meet us at El Wedge. And that was when the Turks were there. We went to the Fox, was with us. That was Paddy Ball's ship. Paddy Ball went to the Fox. That's right, he left our ship, then he went to the Fox. And that was when Lawrence was advancing up with his army. He was going to attack from the land side. We were bombarding from the sea and landed. We landed every available man. And that was when I saw Lawrence. Boyle landed as well. The Fox went aground. But Boyle had landed, and all he had was a walking stick with him. And he met Lawrence, and we saw them walking round the front of the fort. They were being potted at then. And then we moved on up to Akabar. And I think that was when he came aboard one day, one afternoon, and they'd had a bit of a battle royal somewhere, and there were a lot of wounded. A lot of Lawrence's people were wounded. And he came aboard the ship as soon as we anchored. He came aboard, and there was a corporal of the gang, I remember, that was when he booted him up the behind. Because he was told not to allow anybody inboard at the time, and Lawrence came rushing up, and get out of it, says this Welsh bootneck, and booted him. Oh, he said, I'm Captain Lawrence. And he was in his Arab brigade, and he'd been ashore so long that he was nearly burnt black pin. And then we had a lot of wounded there, and they wouldn't let anybody aboard for a medical treatment unless they looked as if they were nearly all right. All the others, they had to be taken ashore and buried, sort of thing. And then they poisoned the wells there, the Turks did, when they got out of Akabar eventually. But the Lawrence eventually disappeared altogether, but he must have been living with us on the ship, I should say, for a couple of years.
As long as that. He was using the ship between Saltese.
Yeah, we were his home when he wasn't...
He was active in the desert.
Yes. And the, of course, during this time, the Boyle, he'd come to our ship because the Fox had to go to Bombay for a long refit. And then when the Fox eventually came back, Boyle transferred to, that was when, towards the end, when this El Wedge stunt was on.
Yes. And you never actually spoke to Lawrence yourself. You never had any contact.
only on one occasion.
What was that?
That was when I was struggling up. As I say, we had two whalers. That was our only boarding boats, and they were always getting smashed up. And I was working on one. The bows were smashed in, and we dropped anchor. I forget where it was. And I was going up, armed with a load of tools, and actually only had shorts and a vest on, and I thought, I should be in the rig of the day. I should have long duck trousers on in any case. And as I went up the ladder, on to the saloon deck. I was going from there up onto the boat deck. So there was Lawrence and Captain Boyle there in deep conversation. Instead of walking up and down, they had to walk past where I wanted to go up. And I got in their way. I moved this way. They moved that way. And I said, "Excuse me, sir." And Paddy Boyle stuck his monocle in his eye and said, "Go away, go away." And I disappeared down the ladder, but I never spoke to Lawrence, as far as I can remember.
And on that sortie, you made sure to look around for equipment and for all, you know, valuable metals and things.
That's right.
You were with him then. Boyle was there.
But he was there then, yes.
But you didn't have anything to do with him then, even still.
I don't think, honestly, that he ever spoke to anybody else in the ship. I don't think he did, except Boyle. I mean, we had officers in the wardroom, on the wardroom, the saloon, up on the saloon deck. That was where they had their bar and everything there. I don't think he ever went in there. He kept very, very much to himself. And that's why I can never believe what they say about him, that he was a homosexual. You can smell that in a ship, whether it be officer or whether it be a lower deck man. And naturally, something would have been said about it, but never a breath. And if he was done by this Turkish general, it must have been by force or something like that. But I'll never believe that he was a homosexual.
And he never certainly made any contact with the crew or anybody?
None at all. Never. He was always in deep thought. Yes. And what was I going to say? You know, in magazines, some book was written about him, about 7 or 8 years ago. And somebody, one of the critics, or father, wrote a book in answer to another book. He was saying he didn't believe that Lawrence had ever been at El Wedge when the fighting was on there. I did think about writing up and telling him, yes, I saw him. Saw him there. I think he was a fellow that was... A lot of the critics that didn't know anything about it gave him a bad name.
You certainly have no cause anyway to think...
No, and I don't think anybody else did. And nobody on that ship anyhow, when he spent some months there.
Good. And none of the stewards ever spoke. I mean, presumably he would be served meals in the saloon and the officers in the wardroom. None of the stewards who served there ever told any stories outside?
No.
Nothing like that?
No. To say, it's impossible in a ship like that, where a small community, it would be impossible for anything like that to be kept secret.
Yes.
No, I think it seems to me that if anybody dies, anybody of note, that there's always somebody ready to find out that he was homosexual and the things he'd done when he couldn't, he's not alive there. You know, I went to his place a couple of years ago, I suppose, at down near the armoured place where all the tanks are. That's where he was killed around there, wasn't it?
Yes, he was in a motorbike.
And that I went in there and had a look at some of the pictures. Now, because I recognised a lot of the photographs and the places where they were taken there. And because that was when they wrote out to the National Trust and when we joined that. But the...
Can I just ask you again then, on the Empress of Britain, just the more general questions.
Japan.
The Empress of Japan, rather, I should say. You were with merchant seamen mercantile marine. How did the Navy and the merchant service, apart from the chippy and yourself, I mean, what was the general relationship between the Navy men and the merchant seamen?
They're pretty friendly.
How many, what sort of numbers? I mean, was it about 50-50, or was it a certain proportion on either side, or...?
Oh, yeah, it would be about 50-50, I should think, yes. They, a lot of those, when we paid off eventually in Bombay, of course, we lost all the CPR people. Mm-hmm.
You lost them all? They went back in the ship, you mean?
I suppose they went back to England.
England, yes.
Oh, no, I've meant that they'd go back to stay on the ship, and the ship was finished with the Navy then.
That was 19 what?
In Bombay.
Bombay.
1915, wasn't it?
1915, yes.